We know where he's going. It's not the same place, praise God. Psalms 121. I know we've taken a little extra time, but I've got a shorter message for you tonight. And so, Psalms 121. So, when you get there, stand with me. I'll pull a Brother Loney. We're going to read the whole chapter. Don't worry, it's just 8 verses. He said, the first 2 services he preached, he said, I normally don't do this, but we're going to read the whole chapter. One was 28 verses, the other one was 32 verses. And then like the next time he got up to preach, it was 60 some odd verses. He says, don't worry, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Just half of it. So it was hilarious. Psalms 121 is where you're at. The Bible says in verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm going to preach a message entitled, Help is Coming. Help is coming. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for what you do. Lord, many times we get those things mixed up. But Lord, we serve you because of who you are, not because of what you do. There are times, yes, where it seems like we serve you just because of the blessings and just because of what you do. But the reality is we can't make it without you. And you are the reason any good thing happens to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand that truth, but also to understand, Lord, that when things get tough, when we don't know which way to turn, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, help us to understand, Lord, that help is on the way and that you're going to be there for us through everything we do. Teach us your word tonight. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here, the psalmist makes the statement in verse number 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help, which is where we get the title and the idea that help is coming. Here, the psalmist was going through a hard time. Here, the psalmist was going through a trial. Here, this is one of the traveling psalms, is what things are referred to as. And one of the psalms where those that are constantly traveling, they're constantly traversing, they're constantly on a journey. And this is one of those traveler psalms. And here, the psalmist makes the statement in verse 1 that he's looking to the hills because that's where the help's coming. And then he recognizes in verse 2 that his help's coming from the Lord. Understand this tonight, and please get this as we go throughout the message. We do not have to live this Christian life on our own. And praise God for that. God has given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. We know that promise is given in John 14. We know it's given again in John chapter 16. And we don't have to live the Christian life by ourselves. We have help. Praise God. Something that's as valuable as the Christian life, something that's important, is keeping people out of hell. The reality is we don't have to do that by ourselves. We got help that comes along the way, and many times our help, we know it all of time, our help comes from the Lord, but there are many times where the Lord will send people in our lives to help along the journey that we go through in this thing we call life. There's 4 things I want you to understand here as we look at this passage. We'll break it up into 2 sets of verses. There's 4 different aspects we're going to look at. Number 1, I want you to notice the source of our help. We find it here in verses 1 and 2. Notice that in verse number 1, we see that God is the one who answers all things. But the psalmist David says here, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He said he was going through a trial, he was going through a problem, but he knew where to look. He had to look unto the hills. He had to look to the north. He had to look to the place where he knew God was going to be coming from. He had to look to that direction. And so here we know that God is the one who answers all things. When we go through trials, we go through heartaches, we go through hard times, thank God that we have access to the throne of grace according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. And the Bible says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace and find a very present help in time of trouble. Verse number 2, the Bible says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So not only is God the one who answers all things, but understand this also, God is the one who authors all things. You see, our help comes from the Lord in the trials that we go through, but also understand the trials that we go through have been authored by the Lord Himself. God has allowed a trial to happen in our lives. God has allowed the hard time to come into our lives. Why? So that we can learn how to trust Him through the hard times. So that we can learn to rest on Him. So that we can learn to rely on Him. And if He's made the heaven and the earth, then He can help you through whatever trial you're going through. Amen. Remember, God is the creator of everything. He's the creator and the author of everything. That means that He is also the finisher of everything. The Bible says that He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And as He is the author of our faith, as He is the finisher of our faith, He is also the one that is controlling the wheel. And He's molding us and shaping us as we grow from faith to faith in the Christian life. And so our help comes from the Lord. We know our source of help here. Next, I want you to notice in verses 3 and 4, we see the sentry of our help. Sentry, that's S-E-N-T-R-Y. This would be a military term. This would be a guard or a protector. It would be a sentry. It would be a soldier. And so here, this is the guard or the protector of our help. Notice verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Understand that God is the one who allows things to happen in our lives. And if God allows something to come into our lives, God is going to make sure that we are strong enough to be able to stand on His word and on His promises through this. Here it says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, but he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Notice, none of these things that we go through in our Christian life take God by surprise. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a nap. He's not on a journey anywhere else. Nothing has taken Him by surprise. And He is not going to allow our foot to fall. The ladies, the girls sing a song, He will hold me fast. Understand that our faith is anchored in Jesus Christ. And when it says He will hold me fast, that means, that word fast means secured or anchored. He will hold me secured. He will hold me anchored. He will hold me fast. Just like an anchor is held fast for a ship, our Lord will hold us and He will not suffer our foot to be moved. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, that there is no temptation taking you but such as common man, that He will make a way for us to escape the trial, the temptation that we go through in our Christian life. Understand that as we go through things in our Christian life, God will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. God will not suffer us to be moved. The Bible, as a matter of fact, tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, we get rooted and grounded in the things of God. And when we go through the trials, when we go through the hard times, when we don't know what else to do, of course, all we can do is look up in our trials. But we're not going to suffer our foot to be moved. God will not suffer our foot to be moved because we are rooted and grounded in Him. And our feet are planted upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And as long as our feet are placed firmly on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then when we go through trials, we go through hard times in our lives, our feet will not be removed. Our feet will not be moved out from underneath us. We will not shift. We will not change the stands that we take. As a matter of fact, the book of Proverbs tells us to remove not the ancient landmarks. Here, when we go through trials, it's amazing to me, Brother Anthony, how many times when people go through trials, they begin to question things that they've done their whole lives. They begin to question whether or not it's real, whether or not they're going to trust God now, but they've trusted God their whole life. So why are they questioning now what we should be doing by faith during the trial? And many times it's because we're not settled on who our Savior is. We're settled in the fact that we are saved, but we're not settled in our relationship with Him. And we're not rooted and grounded quite like we should be. And so then the devil does what the devil always does. He is the great deceiver. And so he begins to bring everything into limbo in our Christian life and begins to get us to question whether or not God really loves us. If God loves you, then why would you be going through the things that you're going through? That's a very selfish way to look at things. It's a very worldly way to look at things. The reality is God does love us and God allows things to go into our lives. And just as Job was tempted and just as things happened in Job's life, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Why? Because he was secure in his faith. His foot was not moved because he trusted in the Lord. See, God is the protector. He is the guard, the sentry of our help. He allows all things. But look at verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Again, he makes the statement again that God does not slumber. He said it in verse 3. Now he says it again in verse number 4. Listen, God doesn't get exhausted by conducting the world. God doesn't get exhausted by meeting everybody's needs. God doesn't get exhausted by giving life to everybody in the world. God doesn't get exhausted by keeping up with 8.5 million people in the world. Now, listen, it's easy for us. We had 4 adults. It's easy for us to get exhausted with 19 kids. I don't know how the Duggars do it, 19 and counting. I don't know how they do it. It's insane. The reality is it's easy to get exhausted with a certain group, with a certain amount of people. But see, our God's not like humans. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. He doesn't get exhausted. He doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't have to slumber. He doesn't have to take a nap. As a matter of fact, he can answer you, Brother Nick, while he's answering me, and while he's answering Brother Roberto, and while he's answering Brother Ray. He can answer all of us at the same exact time and give us all of his undivided attention. How can he do that? Because he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And as often as he wants, praise God. Here, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is not just the one who allows all things. God is the one who attends to all things. Understand that at any given time of your day, God's full and unadulterated attention is rested upon you. Let that thought settle in with you. At any given time, you wake up in the morning, you have all of God's undivided attention. Now think about that. He's the creator of the universe. He's got to make sure that the governments operate the way they're supposed to. But guess what? The Bible says that he rests the government upon his shoulder. He's got that under control. The reality is, he wants to talk with us. He wants to spend time with us. And his undivided attention is given to us on the daily. But I wonder how much of our undivided attention is given to him. Think about that. Here he allows all things, but he attends to all things. He's not going to sleep. He's not going to slumber. He's going to keep things going. Here it's talking about Israel. It's talking about the nation. It's talking about the people. And it's talking about him keeping them or protecting them. And his protection of them is going to continue to go on. He's not going to rest during all of this. Just like his protection in your life is going to continue to go on. And he's going to attend to all things in your life. Don't ever listen to the lie of the devil, and don't ever believe the lie of the devil that God is not interested in your life. God is interested in your life. God is interested in the choices that you make. God is interested in everything that you do. The reality is, many times we're not interested in God like we should be. Many times we go throughout our day and we live our lives and we do our things and we do what we want to do without any regard as to God. Are you pleased by this? God, do you want me to go there? God, do you want me to listen to that? God, do you want me to say that? Those are some of the last things ever crossed into our minds. And the reality is God is the guard, the protector of our lives. He attends to everything that we do. Here, he's the source of our help. Here, he's the sentry of our help. Notice verses 5 and 6. Now, he is the strength of our help. Notice what verse 5 says. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Here, understand here that God protects us from the enemy. Here it says, the Lord is thy keeper. A keeper is someone who protects. You would make the statement or you would make the comparison to someone who is a keeper of sheep. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel, but also he was the shepherd. And so here when he's referring to the Lord being his keeper, he is referring to the fact that God is the one who is keeping him protected. You see, what would happen oftentimes when a shepherd would go with his sheep and they would come into the end of the day and getting into the night, he would gather all the sheep in a round pen that only had one entrance door. It was the sheep fold, and he would gather all the sheep into the sheep fold. And then the shepherd then would lay himself down in the doorway, and he would sleep in the doorway so that nobody could enter into the sheep fold. Does that make sense? So he was the keeper of the door, meaning that he was the one protecting him in everything that he did. So God is our keeper. God is the strength of our help. Understand that Satan can't get to you unless God allows it. Satan can't get to you unless God allows it. The only reason that God allowed Satan to get to Job is because, or the only reason that Satan was able to get to Job is because God had allowed it. Satan even went to God and said Job was off limits. He said, I can't do anything against him. You put a hedge about him. And God says, go ahead. Do whatever you want. Just don't touch him. And then the second time he said, do whatever you want. Just don't touch his life. He did everything he could, but guess what? The Lord was still his keeper. The Lord gave life. And the Lord is the strength of your help. He protects us from the enemy. There are many times, Brother Loney had made a statement this week at church camp. He was preaching on Job. He had made this statement, Brother Nick. Many times we want to gripe and complain to God about the one time that God lifts the hedge and allows the devil to attack us, not realizing all the hundreds of other times that he didn't let the devil attack us. Let that settle in. We gripe and complain about the one time God had allowed the devil to attack us, when in all reality, God had been protecting us the vast majority of our life from that same attack. Why? Because there's a hedge of protection about us. Many times, we forget the same God that protected us through all of that is the same God who's allowed that to happen, and He still has our fate in His hand. He is the strength of our help. He protects us from the enemy, but also notice He protects us from the elements. It says, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now remember, I've shared this with you before, but I'll say it again in case you've forgotten it. The right hand, every time you see it in the Word of God, the right hand is a symbol of strength and power. And so here the Bible says that God, or the Lord, is thy shade upon thy right hand. Meaning that He is the protector of the strength and power that you have in your life. And He's not going to let things get out of control. What do we use the shade for? Well, it's summertime. It's hot outside, right? And what do you do when it's hot and you're out baking in the elements of the sun? You often search for shade. You want to sit in a cool place under the shade. You want to find yourself resting in a place where you can get a little bit of comfort and a little bit of relief from the baking sun. What does the Bible say? The Lord is thy shade. God is our protector. God is the one that gives us any kind of strength that we have in our lives. But it says He is thy shade upon thy right hand. Meaning everything that you put your hand to, anything that you put any kind of strength into, anything that you try to exhaust yourself in doing, God is the one who gives you the strength for it. And God is the one who gives you the protection in it as we serve the Lord. He is the strength of our help. Then lastly, verses 7 and 8, we saw that the Lord is the source of our help. The Lord is the sentry of our help. The Lord is the strength of our help. Then notice verses 7 and 8. The Lord is the security of our help. He is the security of our help. Look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Here the word preserve is used three times. Now, oftentimes we don't make connections with words like we should, just because of the day and age we live in. But here, when we use the word preserve, some of you may remember, and some of you may even know how to do this. Some of you may remember family members that may be a little bit older, grandparents or great-grandparents, that preserved jams, or they preserved pickles, or they preserved okra, and they canned different. How many of you grew up in a home where somebody canned something? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. What did they do? They preserved it. They made it last. It's amazing. There have been many times where throughout the years, things were preserved. And by the way, that's where you get the idea of preservatives, things that make things last longer. But here you have preserves, or you have some jam that may be preserves. And it takes and you set it, and once you preserve it, and you let... You go through the process. Of course, you heat up the cans and the lids, and you go, you put the stuff inside the thing, and then you cap it all down, and then you let it, right? Right, Mr. Thrill? Yeah. You got a little Liz going. Yeah. Every bit of those things. Y'all didn't know I could do that. That's great. Yeah. He's heard it a few times. It's got to be deep. It can't be loud. It can't be high pitched. All right, there you go. All right, we got it. They're over here making preserves, amen. They're over here canning things. Now we just get them to can it, amen. No, I'm just kidding. That's what that means. I'm just kidding. Here, the word preserve is used three times. Notice how it's used. When something is preserved, many times back in the day, they would take and they would put those preserves in a cool, damp place, kind of like a root cellar, kind of like a storm shelter. And it was kept there, and they would go down into the root cellar, and they'd be able to draw from it time and time again. When things would get low, they would go to the preserves, and they would pull out from there. Now notice this. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Now just like we can make the comparison about preserves and them being protected and saved for our future use, God has preserved us from all evil. Meaning He's protected us. He has got us sealed. You see, when that top gets popped on a can, it's sealed until you break the seal and you repop it. Now, once you break the seal and pop it, then it's got to be eaten within a certain period of time or it'll go bad. The Bible tells us, catch this, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. There's no souring or spoiling of our salvation, praise God, because we are sealed in Him. We are preserved. Here, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Notice what else He shall preserve. He shall preserve thy soul. Is that not what He did with salvation? We are sealed. Guess what? The top has been popped. And you've been sealed till Jesus comes, amen. And then it says, the Lord, verse 8, shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. So here God will protect you on all the endeavors that you have in your life as well. Here we see, again, the security of our help. We are preserved from evil. God has protected us. God has sealed us. God has put, as we talked about, that hedge bush of protection around our lives so that we don't have to face the evil things of this world on the daily. Now listen, are there times where we're going to be tempted? Absolutely. Are there times where you're going to face hard times? Yes, absolutely. But understand this, as a child of God, it only gets better. It only gets better. And here, oh, that was the phrase for this week, wasn't it? It only gets better. As a lost person, they don't have that promise. Right. This is the best it gets for them. But for us as a child of God, we've been preserved. We've been protected. You say, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the trials that I've had to face. You don't understand the hard times that I'm enduring right now. No, I may not understand those and I may not have to go through those either. But the reality is this, in your Christian life, it only gets better. Right. And God allows things to happen in our lives every single time to draw us closer to Him. Yeah. Every single time. The Bible says the Lord will preserve thy going in, going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forevermore. Here we are preserved from evil, but also lastly, we are preserved for all eternity. Notice what it says. From this time forth and even forevermore. There's not a doubt in God's mind and there is not a question in God's mind as to whether or not He will keep preserving you in your Christian life. That's settled. As much as we believe the Bible says forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. As much as we believe that is settled, here the Bible says that He will protect us from henceforth forevermore. Is that what it says? Like, preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Why? From this time forth, even forevermore. God's got you preserved. God's got you cared for. God's got you protected in your Christian life. You see, many times, we begin to think that God's forgotten all about us. We begin to think, as we go through troubles, as we go through trials, we begin to think that the Lord doesn't care anymore. But the reality is, He loves us like we were His only child. And He is our security in everything that we do. The Bible talks about in Ephesians how the Holy Spirit of God is the earnest of our salvation. Ms. Chrissy, you work at a bank. Ms. Taylor, you work at a bank. When transactions are made and somebody's purchasing a home, they put up what's called earnest money. Money that's non-refundable. Money that's guaranteed. It's like, this is an investment and we're doing this. It's earnest money. And it goes towards the mortgage. Here, the Holy Spirit of God has become our earnest. Meaning it can't be taken back. He is our security. He is our protection in the Christian life. Listen, when you're going through trials, when you're going through hard times, lift your eyes up and look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. The Lord is coming for us. Help is coming. Help is on the way. See, Christians, we don't have to do this by ourselves. I don't have to try to live this Christian life on my own. I don't have to try to bear the burdens of this Christian life on my own. As a matter of fact, this was a promise the psalmist was given. But the promises that we're given, Brother Brandon, we're in the New Testament. We have the church. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 6 to bear you one of those burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So not only do we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us to guide us and to help us, but we've got a church family to rely on.
Right.
They didn't have that in the Old Testament. And we've got so much at our disposal. But I'm often thought with this, hit with this question, and I often wonder, Brother Anthony, if we've got so much at our disposal, then why do we try to do it all by ourselves? Listen, you don't have to be super Christian tonight. Are you listening? You don't have to do this thing by yourself. I made the statement in Sunday school this morning. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. There's no Superman that has to do it all by himself. There's no Batman that has to do it all by himself until Robin comes along. There's none of that. No Spider-Man, he don't have to do it by himself. Listen, in the Christian life, we have all the help we need. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a completed copy of the Word of God.
Right.
But we do. We have all the help we need. It's right here. So what do we need to do?
Read it.
And believe it. You say, but I don't understand it. That's okay. Just read it and believe it. The understanding will come as the obedience comes. As we stay faithful to the Lord. Again, draw your attention to verse number 2. My help cometh from the Lord. No matter where you're at tonight, no matter what you're going through, understand this. God's got you. We'll just put it in practical terms. God's got you. And God's got this. No matter what it is. The Lord is on your side. And my help comes from Him. Stand with me with heads bowed while eyes closed tonight. Here, help is on the way. Help is on the way. You may be traveling. You may be wandering. You may be out in left field somewhere trying to figure this thing out by yourself. The reality is you don't have to. You don't have to. God's given you His Word that gives you all the answers. God's given us a church and a church family to help encourage us in the trials and things that we face. But even in the times where nobody understands, you still have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, who the Bible says will guide you into all truth. He'll teach you why. You want to know why God allows things? Keep walking with God. Read your Bible. Pray. And let God do what God does. And He'll reveal Himself to you. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the truth. Help us.